Hello there, ladies and gentlemen, friends and rivals. My name is Jared, and with me is my thrill-seeking friend, Ian.
And that is me.
We will be your hosts for this episode of the Game Table Podcast. We are honored that you've joined us at our table. We take a look at various board, card, and other tabletop games. We give an overview, provide our somewhat finely crafted thoughts, all in an attempt to give you an idea of how well it would fit for you and your table. Today, we will be looking at Tenpenny Parks, designed by Nate Linhart, artwork by Vincent Dutrait, and published by Thunderwork Games.
Tenpenny Parks is a 1-4 player worker placement game where players place tiles to build a theme park using both attractions and concession stands to create the most popular park in the region. Let's buy our ticket, hop in line, and enjoy our day at Tenpenny Parks.
Nice.
Well, Jared, I've got a question, as always. So,
okay.
Because this game is all about an amusement park, theme park. What was your first ever theme park experience? And then I'll have a follow-up question to that. But just first, park that you ever visited that was a theme park.
This is a bittersweet memory because it no longer exists. But being able to grow up in good old Nashville, Tennessee, we used to have an awesome theme park called Opryland.
Opryland.
In the good old days of life when...
And
joy.
No, we're not talking about the mall. No,
this is pre-greed moving into our delightful city of Nashville. When we were but a small dot on a...
Not even a map.
Not even a map. I have to hesitate because I don't even know what to say.
We were just here. We just existed.
We had what was Opryland USA theme park. I loved going there. We would go all the time. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I miss it very much.
I actually never got to go to the Opry. I mean, I've lived here my whole life, really, except for like a year, like a 2-year period. But yeah, we never made it to that. I visited a place. It's called Kennywood. It's in Pennsylvania.
Huh. I know nothing about it, so tell me more.
It's very, very tiny, but it does have a lot of, I was looking at, I don't know how many people go there per year, but it does get a good amount in that region. Because it's an amusement park, theme park. They've got a lot of rides and stuff. I do remember, visiting there. I probably like 10 or 12, maybe. Somewhere around there. And then I remember the first ride, and that's my next question, is your first ever ride experience. It was in that park, and it was a roller coaster. I honestly don't remember much about it. I just remember being pretty scared. I was like, I don't know if I want to do this or not. So, I mean, I enjoyed it. But, yeah, do you have one? Do you have that first experience on a roller coaster?
I don't think it was at Opryland where I had my first roller coaster experience.
Okay.
Because we would go there, but we also did, like, the Universal tour and Disney and all of that, too. And I want to say my first actual roller coaster was down there. And then we would do some of the roller coasters back at Opryland. Like, it was a weird timing thing, age wise and height wise, to be able to do that.
Do you have a favorite ride?
I absolutely do.
Okay, so what's your favorite ride?
So last year we got to go to Cedar Point for the first time in my life.
Yes,
Steel Vengeance is everything.
We have the same. It's the best ride.
Well, of course we have the same. If you've been to Cedar Point and ridden on Steve, then it would also be Steve your favorite
Steve,
ride.
Steve Vengeance.
I don't know how anyone could have a better ride than Steve. It's perfection.
Steel Vengeance is incredible. And again, yeah, Cedar Point, is it Sandusky, Ohio?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Steel Vengeance is the perfect roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. So if you're not into roller coasters, beware.
I don't even know if you could say that it transcends.
It does.
Roller coasters.
It does.
To a new level.
The way you're strapped in, it changes, and it's not like it looks wooden, but it's smooth. It looks wooden. It's daunting to look at if you don't like wooden roller coasters. Yes. But the way it straps you in kind of up high and down low on your legs, and it's just so smooth, and it is just pure joy.
Man, just finishing this up, I'm looking through old pictures of Opryland.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just,
He's revisiting his memories.
People learn to have fun. You don't need more money. You need more fun.
Yeah.
Ian and I both love theme parks and amusement parks. So this was a fun kind of theme to go through.
Yeah.
But
and so like what and this game, obviously, that very, I mean, if you're breaking it down, worker placement, tile laying game. But from there, there's a lot of other things that do go on.
Yeah, so basically, you're building your own theme park in Tenpenny Parks, and you're trying to do it better than the other players at the table. Everyone's given a board that has trees randomly distributed throughout it, and it is a tile laying game. And so you have three actions that you get to do in a given round, and you take turns with other players doing those actions. And on your turn, you can basically do one of five things. You can either buy an attraction, which is going to move you up on the various bonus tracks that they have, which measures your thrill, your awe, and your joy in the game. You can clear trees, which makes room for said attractions. You can also go and add concession stands that can be food or magic tricks or... there's like balloon stands, and you get the idea. So that's concessions. You could also add more land because every good theme park needs to expand as far as possible.
Buy it up.
And of course, we need money. So you can always go to the bank to get more money.
Is that how that works?
I'm not keeping count, but I think I've said all five.
Okay.
So if I didn't, sorry.
He apologizes in advance.
I did. Yeah, so like I said, you have three actions. You go around the table doing those actions, and then once that is done, you move into a bonus phase of the game where you see who has the highest thrill, who has the highest awe, and whoever has the highest joy currently. And then you will have a choice, if you are the highest, to either take a bonus and go back a step on said track, or you can stay where you are and gain a point. Once you've done that, you can advertise to add more points to your park, and then you will allow the first player to spin the carousel to determine what the attraction costs will be for the following round. You go five rounds, and then the player with the most points wins.
It's really not complicated as far as like per turn. There's not a ton of, like the card. Most, it's not like you reset the cards each turn. The cards stay there, so you kind of see. Things stay around, and so you kind of look at the, you know, the rides that are available to purchase, and the one thing that does change is the concession stuff. Those change each turn, so they'll
round.
So they get reset, and so you can't plan on that. But overall, no, it's the concept of the extra bonuses based on which track that you are progressing in. With the thrill, if you're ahead, you get an extra worker. You'll get that worker for the next round. You get that extra worker, and that extra worker can be placed like any other worker. And that is it's a very worker placement style ability, mechanic in a game. A lot of worker placements do have a similar aspect in them with that. And so I'm glad that it's in this game. The cool thing about the other ones, though, is... what's the second one? If you're ahead in awe, you get to get the first player token, and if you drop back one, you get the first player token. And with that, like you said, you get to spin the wheel. The wheel has what, two zeros?
Yep.
One,
a plus one and a plus two, and then a minus one and minus two on cost for the attraction that it's pointed to.
Right. So it changed. So you each turn that is going, each round that's going to be spun by the player who goes first, and so they really get to set it really wherever they want. And honestly, whatever they're looking to buy,
as long as the carousel moves,
yes,
it has to move every time.
It can't stay put. You can't. It has to be moving. It always goes in circles. It would be fun in a carousel if it didn't move. So that gets to move around. You get those kind of increased or decreased costs. And that really controls a lot of interesting dynamics with controlling what the other what you don't want the other players to buy, but on top of that, what you are interested in buying as an attraction for your park. And so that's a very, very cool little ability there that really plays into the whole system of this game for sure.
There is one more track that we need to talk about, which is the Joy track. So on the Joy track, if you decide to use its special ability, it gives you $3 extra, which can be either used for either the advertising phase, which comes after the bonus phase, or it can give you a leg up on money that you will have for the next round. So yeah, like you said, I think the point of entry is pretty light. Mm-hmm. Once you kind of understand what each thing does and how the overall concept works, you can dive in pretty easily, even though there's a lot of pieces. Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll kind of take a pause on our thoughts on the game itself, talk about the publisher,
yeah,
and the designer and the artist, and then we'll kind of segue from there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this game's designed by Thunderwork Games, which they've... How many games? They have a good lineup. They've done Role Player, is that correct?
Yeah, so they've done Role Player and Lock Up. Another one that they really... is pretty popular is Cartographers.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the ones that I really recognize from their list here.
Yeah.
And they've got several more that are coming out soon.
Okay.
They've settled into a good spot of what they want to be, I feel like.
Yeah.
They're not like the most well-known company, but
I've never heard of them.
They are definitely chugging along at a good pace.
The designer is Nate Linhart. Mm-hmm. First ever game designed, which is awesome. You love to see that.
You know, regardless of how I feel about the overall like score that I'm going to give and things like that,
yeah,
I think this game is an absolute home run for a first design.
If I could make a game first time, it'd be this good. That's a mission accomplished.
Yeah, Nate killed it.
And he's not an older dude. you look at some of the games, some of these games that come out that the designers have been designing games for a while. They know what works and what doesn't work in games. And so they've kind of perfected their craft. This guy, I don't know exactly his age. I would say around 30s. He's from, I think, Chicago. He's a Bears fan. He's a job recruiter as his main job. He's not a game designer, like, as his job.
Sure.
He's not really into the gaming, that part of the world, for money purposes. But he does that as his main job, and then he loves board games. He grew up playing, you know, your Ticket to Ride and Settlers of Catan and all those, but slowly progressed into that and now plays other games and decided that he would like to create a game that is about fun and enjoyment and about a theme that he really enjoys, which is about theme parks.
Perfect.
And so he came up with the concept of all that through, you know, plenty of other... It's a worker placement tile. So he took concepts of, I'm sure, other games, and kind of built a nice little piece for himself. And I think it works really, really well as a definitely first ever game design. That's awesome. I hope that for those that are interested in designing a game, there are plenty of avenues. There are plenty of companies that are looking for a solid game. And if you are interested in that process, there is definitely opportunities for you. And if you design a really good game, it can be published, which is awesome.
I would agree. I think this is a great example for young or aspiring designers to look to as an example of what can happen. And I wish everyone out there the best of luck in those endeavors to see those games come to life. Now let's go ahead and transition into our thoughts on Tenpenny Parks. Ian, what are some things, or what's something that you really liked about this game?
This game was enjoyable. Man, it's just a very good design. It really is. It's there are other worker placement games that are longer and definitely have a lot more planning, and Viticulture is the first one that really comes to my mind, that have way more obviously depth and just the planning. There's a lot more planning in a game like that. What I love about this game compared to something like that is that it's a little bit easier to get into. The decision making is simple, but it has a lot of depth in what those decisions you make and like how that affects kind of your later game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can just throw tiles. You could throw tiles out, just start buying things, but that doesn't, I don't think that works. You need to think about what you're buying and you do have to have a plan. But in general, like you just don't have many choices. So I'd like games that have very balanced tactical to strategy decision making that usually hits home for me, is where I'm making a decision based off only a couple options and I use those decisions that I make for my later game. And and so when we're talking about, there's only a couple different, you know, attractions that you can buy. And if you're going like second or third, some one's already bought up by then. So you really might have one or two attractions that you can buy because they might not fit.
Yeah.
So then from there, you know, you'll have to clear some trees and, you know, you need some land. And like the decision making, though, is I found that, I only have like one or two decisions right now because I have to build a bigger park and do this and this to open up space for the bigger rides that I want to purchase later. So overall, I love that there's not a ton of options that you have, but the decisions you have can change the way you play the game, which is awesome. On top of that, the bonuses for each category is an interesting, neat ability to kind of streamline your strategy in a way, because you're like, okay, well, I really want an extra worker. There's only one attraction. There's only one concession stand that gives me that thrill. I want to get that this turn. And so I feel like decisions in this game came natural. They didn't feel like I had to sit here and think. And again, I'm super analytical. I can take forever on turns. I never felt like I had to sit here and really think through all the different options, because the game really, the way the decisions that I made earlier in the game, the money that I had, kind of pushed me in a direction that was like one or two, maybe three options. And which one do I want to do best? And so that it made things super easy in that regard of the simple play style. But again, there's a lot of cool options that come out, and playing tiles too is always fun. Who doesn't? And they're roller coasters. Who doesn't like to play roller coasters? The art looks really, really good on the board with the roller coaster. You actually feel like, I do really feel like I was building a theme park, which is awesome. Like all the different rides have different shapes, and the shapes are very odd, and we'll get into that later. But the shapes and all that, it really does feel like you're building a theme park. And I think that's so cool. Like it does make you feel like that. The art on the cards, on top of the tiles, on top of everything else, makes you feel like you're really building some really cool rides.
Yeah, for sure. There's a couple things in there that you mentioned that I wanted to tack on to. The thing that you kind of hinted throughout that and kind of alluded to was the order of operations of the decisions that you make. Because I agree with you that I think there's a certain simplicity to the five actions, and you can kind of go the way that you want to go. But how you choose to do which action when is the way you kind of take that next step to add some strategy to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And it also allows that engine to really feel like you get going by round two and round three. I also really like the creativity that went into the different tiles. Because I know that we had some issues with some of the shapes on the cards, which we're kind of hinting at for later on. But
it's not the shape that's the problem.
You're right.
It's not the shape.
Which the shape is awesome, actually. Yeah. I love a good tile laying game.
Yeah.
And I love not only the way that the rides are shaped, but the amount, I cannot even begin to imagine the amount of math that had to go into placing the trees on your beginning card the way that they did.
Right.
Because at first they look like this massive nuisance.
Yeah.
To be there, and you want to just clear them all out, but you don't have enough actions to do that.
No, you can't do that.
But once you can look at the whole thing and not just see a clump of trees, you can say, oh, I can see how this one can fit here and this one could fit there, and this is how we're going to make this work. And there's just a satisfaction in being able to figure out how to make the puzzle come together like that without having to clear the trees.
Yeah.
I always have, unless like a specific bonus card has me do otherwise, like we had in our last game, I like to leave the trees as much as I can. Yeah. There's a certain just satisfaction, like I said, that I get from being able to navigate the board that I'm given.
I mean, I left like a group of like four trees, mm-hmm. and I just built like a concession stand and then two rides around the trees.
Yep.
And so you can easily,
yeah,
easily do. Now, I don't know if this we said this earlier, but when you're placing tiles, you can't put them next to each other. They cannot be placed next to each other.
That is true. Only on the corners.
Yeah, you can do like a diagonal, but there can't be anything that ever touches. And so that really changes so much when playing the tiles. It's like a big Tetris game. It's massive, especially with all the weird shapes, man. It gets wild.
Yeah, it really does. I don't know. I think there's a couple of shapes that overlap a little bit, but for the most part, they're all unique in the way that they are shaped, which is also another cool aspect of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I also really enjoy, and I'm going to eat these words later because I'm gonna rag on a part of this. But there are multiple paths to victory, and
yeah.
in a game of this, on the surface, simplicity, that is not always the case.
Mm.
Typically, you can just find, this is the way to win, mm-hmm. and this is the way to always win. And I know I will contradict myself later on with part of that, but I have played enough games of this that there are multiple ways to win, mm-hmm. and that's great. I am happy with that.
Yeah.
I will also say I really enjoy the artwork for the rides specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Dragon's Breath or something like that.
On the card or on the tile?
On the tile.
Okay.
I think it was Dragon something. It was one of the green ones.
Dragon's Breath.
And I was looking at like the detail of the ride itself.
Yeah.
And I was just like, man, I would give anything to ride on this ride.
Yeah. It's a very, it does look like, it's like they took a drone like way up in the air and yeah. then they took a shot of it. It is kind of cool because there's like tiny little people on it. It does look like, it looks like when you're looking down at your map, it kind of does look like it's like an overhead shot of a theme park. Like, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. And I do like the point of entry. I like games, and we've covered a few at this point that have this, where there is a, I don't know that this one is as much as some of the other ones that we've covered as mm-hmm. far as depth, but it's a point of entry where I can put this on the table for whether it's a brand new person or an experienced player,
mm-hmm.
and I can teach in less than 10 minutes and say, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
And everyone at the table can have a good time.
For sure.
The game will not hinder someone from being able to do that.
I was worried early on, because I got caught behind almost like in all three categories.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, dang, am I just out of this now? And you're not. It didn't feel like that. I did get kind of concerned there. I was like, man, I'm kind of falling behind a lot. And I ended up coming second place in this game. And so I found a way back. And there are ways to easily climb back. I don't think... if somebody's jumping ahead by that much, they spent all their money,
right.
and you probably didn't. So, yes. And so, yeah, no, when you're playing a game like this, it's great when you can walk in and not feel like it's super daunting.
I mean, that goes back to what we were talking about a minute ago of the multiple paths to victory,
mm-hmm.
because you looked like you were really far behind, but you were setting yourself up for a 10-point jump
yeah.
at the end of the game,
yeah, yeah,
which was great. And got you really close to almost pulling it off.
Yeah, that one game, I was 3 points away from tying.
I think that, so this is referring to the game that we played right before recording, just to make sure we were on top of it. And I remember towards the end, I was able to steal something from you so you couldn't get that last 5-point bonus.
Yeah.
And that would have solidified the win for you. So
I think, yeah, it would have been close because there was some points I couldn't maximize points. If I had enough money, I could have definitely won mm-hmm. because I could have maximized on the
joy.
Yeah. So I was trying to max out on joy and I couldn't, but I also didn't have enough money. But if I had like enough money and enough, and I had enough turns because I had the extra worker that round, man, I could have, I got hopped in on the joy, got to the max. And again, so on that track, but about 3/4 of the way across the board, when you get your marker across to that point, you'll get 5 points, five extra victory points at the end of the game for that.
For each track.
And so the optimal way to play is to get all three to there. And so I had two of them past that kind of border.
I don't know if that's optimal. It's definitely like ideal, but I think if you're doing all three, either you are going to win anyways because the other players have let you do whatever you wanted.
That's true.
Or you've committed so much to that you're not getting points anywhere else.
Yeah. No, that's a fair point. I think if you're trying to maximize points, that's 15 points that if you get it past that kind of that line.
All three of them. Yeah.
But it's very I love that part. That scoring track does so much. There's a lot, honestly, that scoring track does for the game. On top of that, it gives you bonus points at the end of the game and bonus points in between rounds. And also, it has the bonus itself for being in the lead on that track, which is super cool.
It's also placed in an interesting spot because it's in the middle of the round. Mm-hmm. So there's still things to come after it that you can't know ahead of time.
Yeah.
But going back to that larger strategy that you have going, you can definitely use it, like you said at the beginning, to help keep that thing chugging along.
Yeah. It really does help. It's just an interesting little piece of that's very cool about that game. But so what would you, as far as player count, how do you feel about, because it's 1-4, so it is solo. I haven't played the solo, but
so I actually like this at 4 players.
Okay.
And I'm going to go ahead and talk about the solo piece for me as well.
Yeah.
I think the thing for me that really draws me into this game is that it has that, there's not a lot of direct player interaction. Mm-hmm. There's some, I don't know what the word is. There's interaction in that other players are affecting the game state that will affect your turns. There's only so many spaces as a worker placement operates. Mm-hmm. There's certain either attractions or other things that will be taken away that you were hoping for. So there is that interaction in a way. But for me, the thing that really draws me in is the race element of being able to put together the correct theme park in the correct order better than everybody else at the table. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I want as many other people interacting as I can because that just makes the race that much more intense. And again, I don't know that I would feel that way about every game in this kind of ballpark, but for this one, I like the extra players at the table. And that leads into, I'm not drawn to the solo aspect of this game.
Okay.
I like to play solo games at times, but I don't know. There's nothing in this, and I've like glanced over the solo rules in the back of the rule book. They have a full page dedicated to it, but there's just nothing that like draws me in to say, I wanted to just do this with myself. Like I would rather have other people at the table building theme parks as well.
I really do think the tension of having somebody potentially steal, and I don't know what, I'm not interested in, I'm just not, I like some solo games, but I wouldn't try this in it because, again, that tension of having another player steal your ride.
Yeah.
I think that again, that's a worker placement kind of thing, and that's awesome, and I think that's part of this game, and I think it really fits in. I'm like, oh, dang, you stole my ride.
Yeah.
You took my ride. How could you? So,
yes, there was, I can't remember if it was me or Anna that did it, but one of us stole a ride from you, and you just died inside, and you were just like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, you took my ride, and because she took that ride, it ended up being something that I actually didn't want because as we move forward here,
things
that we don't like, Jared, why don't you explain this part of the game that we don't like?
Okay. So in this game, you have tile pieces, right? But you don't buy the tile pieces when you're looking at the board. You're buying a card. Mm-hmm. And on this card, it has the artwork. It has the cost of the attraction. It has the bonus that you're going to gain immediately on one or more of those three bonus tracks.
Right.
Then it has in the bottom corner what the tile shape is supposed to look like. Now, on paper, if I said that to you without you ever having played this game,
yeah,
you would say, that's awesome.
Right. Oh, I know what I'm getting. I know what the shape is.
You know, without having to look through the tiles.
Yeah, because there's a massive stack of tiles. There's a lot of rides.
Yeah, there's like six colors and at least six rides per color.
And you're not, look at the card. Well, don't, but you look at the card.
But what you don't know is when you're looking across the table at the stack on the opposite side from you.
Yes.
And you think you know what the shape is, and then you draw the tile, and it's like, oh, there's a hole in the middle of that.
Oops.
And it's going to sit right there where I can't claim my bonus on the freaking tile that I've got. Awesome.
Just this big hole in your ride.
Yeah. Great.
That you didn't know about. The engineers forgot to tell you, hey, we have to put a nice big open space in the middle of this ride for safety precautions. So therefore, just letting you know, we won't tell you until after we build it. But according to the safety regulations of this theme park, there must be 20 feet in between two rails that go vertical and then a horizontal line across. So anyway, there's going to be a hole in your ride.
Now, don't get me wrong. From a game perspective, I'm fine with the hole in the ride. In fact, there's times where I can put it where there's a nice tree in that hole, and it feels great. I don't have an issue with the hole. I have an issue with the fact that I can't clearly see that when I'm looking at the card.
They forgot to tell you. Just didn't let you know ahead of time.
And now, I will say, if I pick up the card, and maybe this is on me as a player, that I did not inspect the card that I just spent $8 on well enough, that's on me, I guess.
I guess it's your fault.
Maybe. But if I inspect it closely, I would probably see it. But yeah. If I'm looking at it across the table and I'm not trying to show what I'm trying to do in this order of operations
exactly.
game.
I'm not trying to like show what card I'm buying
then
for the whole table
I
to
may
know.
Or may not know that there's a freaking hole in the middle.
It's not good. They should have just done a different color shading, just a darker shading. The issues that I think I have with this game are not... It's not gameplay. It's very much, and you might. I'll let you come. I'll come back to you here in a second.
No, it's okay.
Because I don't have as much. No, I don't have as much to say on the dislikes necessarily. But the boxes that show what shape the ride is. It's not a dark enough color because it's tan on tan. Really, it's like a brownish tan or whatever on tan, and so it's really hard. You think you know looking at it, you're like, oh, I can see that. That's a square. But no, there's an empty spot in the middle that mm-hmm. the engineers forgot to tell you about. With that, also the color of the cards of the rides themselves, I get mixed up. There's bonus cards that you can get, and I got one in one of the games that I needed to get a ride of each color in my park. And as I was building, I was like, oh, I thought I had, that's a different one. No, it's the same color because there's like two blues and all you can look at is the tiny little symbol in the top right.
It's not two blues. It's a yellow and a golden
okay.
brown.
Yeah. But there's also, I think, a blue and like a green.
They are.
Yeah. But anyway, the symbols are super tiny on the top and that was the only thing that really tell the difference, especially if you haven't played it like a bunch and know. And so, anyway, that's it's hard to tell the type of ride and what color it is, which is annoying. On top of that, on the cards themselves, the money. So when you purchase a ride and you build a ride for your park, you get a bonus, usually of either thrill or joy, or why can't I remember the third one?
It's awe.
Makes sense. I see how this might. Anyway. So you'll get a bonus of one of those that you'll get to move your player token up on that track when you build a ride. And there's a mix and match. Every ride's kind of different. You get some give you like a two of the same one, but there's usually pretty balanced. On top of that, you get a victory points at the end of the game for building the ride. But the other thing you can get when you build these cards is money. And the money icon is super frustrating. Is that it's in the same place as the bonuses that you get from like the thrill, awe, and joy. Why is it in
the, like, because you don't get the money until the income stage.
It doesn't make any sense.
It's not immediate.
It just doesn't. Yeah, but the income stage is the next turn. It's not immediate.
That's what I'm saying. It's not immediate, so yeah. It shouldn't be there.
It shouldn't be there. Like I don't understand why it's there, because it doesn't make any sense to be there. It's confusing, and it just doesn't make sense. It was just a poor design on card design of the layout of the cards. I don't know who came up with that concept, and you know, there's plenty of other, you know, people involved in the designing of the game other than Nate. But it's bothersome. It's annoying. It's just little stuff like that on the card. And again, yeah. The cards look great. The art's awesome. The art looks really good in this game. The card layout on the card is not super easy to kind of sort through. And it's just frustrating. Anyway.
Tell me how you really feel. So I also have a couple other quibbles. And I feel like I've played this game enough and played enough strategies to be able to make this claim. So in your three, thrill, awe, and joy, you get a bonus, like we've talked about. The bonus for thrill is an extra action. And the bonus for awe is that you get to become first player.
Yep.
And the bonus for joy is that you get money. All three of those things are great.
Yeah.
But the extra action is so insanely good that if players do not make sure that the same person is not getting that one every single time,
yeah,
then it's game over, I think. I have not seen a game, like we, in the games that we've, once we learned how to play, we always make sure at least two people,
yeah,
are having to pass it back and forth, because four extra actions is wild,
yeah,
over in this game. And so I mean, like I said, there are other strategies to win the game. There really are.
Yeah.
But you are required to make sure that thrill is something that you at least pay attention to enough that you're causing trouble.
Yeah.
It is. It's not terrible. These are all quibbles. They're not anything insane.
I thought one of the games we played, I got that the thrill bonus 4 times out of 5 rounds. I think that's right, because I know Anna got the.
There's only 4 times.
Okay,
you can
get, so I got so three. Yeah, three I got four. Three of yeah. the four.
Because no one gets it the first round,
right? I felt like the other players in the game were forcing me, if I wanted to continue to get that extra worker, that I had to work for it. And I think that's what you're saying, is that if you just let somebody have it and they just get it every time, that they will win that way.
Yes.
I think you guys did control me from just like having it, which I think did change the game. I think that really helped you win that game.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I just walked in with it, I think it would have been a little different if nobody really kind of pushed for thrill. So I think there was a good balance. I don't know if I fully agree with you. I think it's definitely a strong ability. I'm not sure. There are other abilities to win. So I'm curious if you play many, many games, how important it becomes if you know a lot of the other aspects of the game. But
I think that's fair. Like I definitely have not played this game 30 times or anything like that. So I wonder if over the time, if you committed, mm-hmm. you could make it work with any of the three bonuses.
I will say that extra worker is incredible.
I mean, because as a normal player, you get 15 actions in a game.
Yeah.
And so to have 19 actions in a game instead of 15.
Man, I felt like I was doing so much.
So good.
I felt like I was doing so much. I think the balance is, in my mind, I think pretty solid. But no, I could definitely see how that would be an issue.
Yeah, it's not like broken or anything.
I can see that being an issue.
It feels like an issue.
Yeah.
The other thing I will say is that, and I go back and forth on this, because I think 5 rounds is good.
Yeah.
I definitely think you'd have to adjust everything else if you made it longer, so you can't just make it like a homebrew.
I mean, it took an hour and a half, something like that.
Well, so here's what I'm thinking. Like, I usually feel like I have a full park when I get done with 5 rounds.
Yeah.
But if I've got like a bonus card that's wanting me to do two of the green, like really big rides, mm-hmm. and I've got to take the time to clear the trees for that and whatever else, then I look down at my park and I'm like, well, there's some big rides here, but I don't feel like I've got a full theme park.
Right.
And so sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I had another round to like fill this in a little bit. But I think that's a game by game basis, because there's some games where I've got 8 or 9 rides and I'm like, oh, this looks awesome. And I feel really satisfied with it. So I don't know.
The best theme park in the world.
I just think there's some, like, so you get those bonus cards at the beginning of the game. So I think there's just some bonus cards that kind of direct you away from feeling like you've built a full theme park.
Yeah.
But it also lives in a space where it is what it is and it does what it does. And I know that's super helpful to everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it fits what it's supposed to. So I would say, again, that's just like a minor quibble of mine, not anything crazy.
Sure. So, what would you say your, as far as overall, what's your grading? What are your final thoughts here on Tenpenny Parks?
I'm going to give it an 8. I think it's a solid score.
It's a high number.
Yeah. I think it's, I really enjoy it. I do.
You like this more than Wingspan?
It's just so different.
Okay.
I mean, I can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think by the time I've played enough games in my life that I can't put them all on one scale and just say this one's better than this one.
Right.
You know, I think each one, I think for me, that's why I don't like top 100 lists.
Yeah,
because
no, yeah.
It doesn't, or even top 10s, because each game is dependent on the situation and who I'm playing with. So, you know, I would put Tenpenny Parks in front of people even more novice than Wingspan. As far as players, like I think I could put that Tenpenny Parks in front of anybody,
yeah,
and they could pick it up. Wingspan has some intimidating effects that would keep me from wanting to do that to a brand new player.
Yeah,
probably, maybe, I don't know.
Sure, I mean that's any game. I was just curious. I mean,
I think they're different.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would put one over the other. But it now you're making me think.
Yeah, that's a good number, because the way, and for those that are joining us, our number system and concept is not like, oh, this game is a 9 because it's one of my favorite games of all time. And for me, it's more, what is the game? What am I ranking it as?
Where does
as
it
a
win?
Game? And that doesn't necessarily put it in my top 5, but as a game, is the experience good? And so, anyway, that's more of the concept of our numbers there.
But, yeah. I have a really good experience with this every single time that I play it. I haven't had a bad experience with this one, and I have played it a lot of different ways, so I feel like I'm getting a different experience each time. This game is a really great tool. So when I think about a good tool, it works for a specific situation. Throwing Tenpenny Parks on the table, everybody's gonna have a great time.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the most complicated game, but everyone can relate to a theme park. It's super simple to get into, and it does its job. And so I think the game sits where it's supposed to. It does a great job of that, and it has incredible art, and it was really well thought out as far as how to bring that art out on the tiles and how it all looks together on your board. So it has a lot of things going for it. I think it could go down if I played it regularly, because I don't know that there's enough in the box to keep that variety forever. But, you know, as a once-in-a-while game, I enjoy it every time.
I know this is a good game. It's a solid game. I don't know if I can give it an 8. I think I'm going to give it a 7.75, because, you know, we're here. I think it's above average. I think it works well. It is, like I said before, it has simple decision-making, but long-term, like, risk and reward. And the decisions in this are great. Art is great. We've mentioned our quarrels with some of the way the cards are laid out. But overall, there's not really a whole lot wrong with this game. It's very good. It's a very solid game. I think it works well with new people and people that have played it before. As far as worker placement games, I think it works really well. It achieves everything that you want in a worker placement game. It's not necessarily my favorite, though. And it has some, you know, some longer depth issues, you know, is that, again, if you're looking at another worker placement game that you can kind of more plan out your overall game. So this doesn't have as much as that in it. But it's a very solid game. You really do feel like you're building a theme park, which is awesome. I think if you love theme parks, I would definitely give this a try. And with that, I mean, my comparison is honestly like going to a theme park. I think that's a perfect comparison for this, because I think there is plenty of parts of this game that are super fun. And then there's also like the spinning saucers, which I cannot stand. I cannot stand the spinning saucers. I can't do spins. I need thrill. Give me all the thrill. I want as much thrill.
You don't want any awe.
I don't want any awe. I don't want any like that's it. I don't want that either.
Oh,
so
no.
Give me as much awe as, well, no, I don't want awe. I just want thrill. Give me all the thrill rides. And so no, I think that's a great comparison. When you go to a theme park, you know, you have stuff that you like, you have the thrill rides that you love. I think it's actually a funny comparison, because it does feel like that. There are things when you're building in this game, it just feels like you're actually building like some ride in Disney World or Cedar Point or something, which is awesome. So, yeah.
Well, thanks again for hanging out with us. We are so grateful to have had you at our table. If you have any feedback on the episode or want to give us your thoughts on the game, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thegametablepodcast@gmail.com or reach out to us on social media. Our links are in the episode description. Additionally, we would absolutely appreciate it if you could take a moment to leave us a review wherever you get your podcast, and also help spread the word by sharing with your friends and that one individual at the table that you just really need to beat at your next game night. Both of these heroic actions are immensely helpful in growing this podcast. We are so excited to see where this thing goes. Additionally, special thanks to Angie Santiago for our cover art, and to Anna Snyder, who made the music. Until next time, may your dice rolls and your card draws be blessed, and your experiences at the table be ones to remember forever.
And ever.
Next episode, we'll be taking a look at Isle of Trains, All Aboard. You can also go and add concession stands that can be food or magic tricks or
a popcorn stand, a hot dog.
I already said a food stand.
Oh, okay.
Come on, pay attention.
Be specific, though. Everybody loves hot dogs.
They're all hot dogs. Every single one of the food stands is a hot dog stand.
Right, but that's a hot dog stand, not just a concession. It's not just a concession.
All right, I'm doing this.
Don't demean it.
I like a good hot dog.